This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Last night, voters in California, New Jersey, Montana, New Mexico, and South Dakota went to the polls in their presidential primaries. And in North Dakota, Democrats caucused. Donald Trump is the only candidate left standing on the Republican side, so it comes as no surprise that he raked in the votes and the delegates. For the Democrats, more was up for grabs. Hillary Clinton won the two states with the largest delegate counts, California and New Jersey. She struck a conciliatory tone in her remarks last night.
We have to be as big as the values that define America. And we are a big-hearted, fair-minded country. We teach our children that this is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Not just for people who look a certain way, or worship a certain way, or love a certain way.
Bernie Sanders also spoke in the wee hours of this morning. He did not concede the race.
We are going to fight hard to win the primary in Washington, D.C. And then we take our fight for social, economic, racial and environmental justice to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
There is only one more voting contest to go, that primary in Washington, D.C. next Tuesday. So what is the plan for Bernie Sanders after that? We broadcast live in the noon hour, and at this point, he's expected to speak this afternoon when he lands back in Vermont. But he's made it clear that he's not slinking away in any way. So today we want to give you a platform to react, as nearly all the voting is done in this topsy-turvy primary season. We'd like to know where you think Bernie Sanders should go from here. What's the strategy? And what's your strategy as a voter? Call 1-800-639-2211 with your reactions or your thoughts, or you can post them on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Again, our number if you'd like to call us and tell us what you're thinking, you know, how you're feeling about what was in some ways a historic night for Hillary Clinton and her supporters, and, you know, if you feel that way, maybe the nation. Also, a night of some fight, some disappointment, some still excitement for Bernie Sanders supporters, and of course Trump supporters, seeing more and more people moving over to the Trump side, even as they disavow some of the things that he's been saying. Again, our number 1-800-639-2211. And I'm joined in the studio by Bert Johnson for this conversation. He's chair of the political science department at Middlebury College. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jane. Great to be here.
Did you stay up all night last night? I mean, it was late in California when some of those speeches were.
I stayed up later than usual, but I did not stay up all night. Last night, no.
Our executive producer apparently stayed up till 2:30 a.m. here to listen to Bernie Sanders
dedication.
Talk. Yeah, that's dedication. I did not have, but you know, you don't need it because you can hear all the speeches online in the morning.
That's right.
Anything surprise you from last night?
Not really, actually. I think once the race consolidated on the Democratic side after the first few months, it was fairly predictable based on demographic groups that tend to support both candidates. So I think the race that was most in question among the pundits yesterday was California, but just really based on California's demographic makeup, the percentage of white voters versus non-white voters, you wouldn't have expected Bernie Sanders to win that state.
So you don't think that the AP announcement, the Associated Press announcement on Monday declaring Hillary Clinton the presumptive nominee based on superdelegate counts and that they said had pushed her over the threshold, you don't think that had an effect on California voters?
I think it's unlikely, especially considering the margin in California. When we look at studies of, for example, if they announce the votes on one side of the country before the polls close on the other side of the country, that kind of thing, it might affect a percentage point or two of people who decide to stay home, but it's not going to be a 13 percentage point margin there, and that's what we saw in California.
So you're fairly confident that the voters went for who they wanted to go for and not that they just didn't come out to the polls or anything?
Yes, and in fact, I think actually Bernie Sanders did somewhat better than the demography would predict in California. If you just run a simple model like I have tended to over the last couple of months that use the racial composition of the state and whether or not it's a caucus state to make your prediction, California, he's predicted to get about 37% of the vote, and he did 6 percentage points better than that. So he's got something to be proud of there.
We got a note from Carrie in Montpelier who says, I was practically in tears last night when I listened to Hillary's speech and thought of all the women in history who bravely fought for the right to vote. As a lukewarm supporter of Hillary Clinton, I never expected to feel such emotion, but it has inspired me to go register new Democratic voters in New Hampshire. I hope Bernie can tell his supporters what a pivotal moment this is for women, because doing so might inspire some of them to go out and help elect the first woman president. Bert, was this a historic night?
Absolutely it was. And I think like a lot of people, I found myself thinking of my grandmother who was born in 1908 before women obviously could vote. And if she had lived to see this day, she would have been very excited, I'm sure. So it's certainly a historic moment. And I think a lot of women will be enthusiastic going forward, especially older women.
It was in some ways a tough thing for Hillary Clinton to have to walk because, you know, the AP announcement on Monday sort of scuppered any plan to have this triumphant announcement on Tuesday. And, you know, she isn't actually over the threshold when we talk about pledged delegates. And yet this is something that, you know, many people want to hear from the first what looks to be the first female candidate to head a party's ticket for president.
Right. Actually, that AP count, Bernie Sanders supporters might be upset by that. But I think Hillary Clinton supporters were also upset by that because it took away the thunder of last night a little bit. That's true.
Did you hear anything in the speeches from Trump or Sanders or Clinton that surprised you or that you think is worth highlighting?
I think Trump is desperately trying to backpedal from some of his recent statements, and I'm not sure that will be effective given his character, as we've seen so far in the race. I think,
but he's not even really backpedaling, is he? I mean, he's basically saying,
really.
I just won't talk about it anymore.
Yeah, he's trying. He has a tendency to try to stand firm as much as possible, and he's obviously getting a lot of pressure to back off. So he's trying to have it both ways a little bit on that. Yes,
and this is, of course, his comments related to the judge in the case about Trump University, who Donald Trump has been saying or suggesting is biased against him because of his Mexican heritage.
Correct. Yes, and it's an extraordinary thing to have to see leaders of the party on the one hand saying those are racist statements, on the other hand saying we're continuing to support the nominee. They have to be feeling a lot of awkwardness about that.
We got a note from Fran in Weybridge who says, Bernie, if you are listening, here's my advice as one of your strong supporters who worked hard on your campaign. It's time to pack up your campaign, encourage your supporters to turn out for Hillary, and keep Donald Trump from winning the presidency and ruining our country. Your campaign has been incredibly successful in bringing up the most important issues for our country. You can continue your success as an enthusiastic supporter with the Hillary Clinton campaign. Professor Johnson, you see that happening?
I think probably yes, eventually. And I think that the emailer is correct to just think about the broad sweep of where we've come. I don't think very many people back last May would have thought that Bernie Sanders would have gotten this far. I think that's a real accomplishment, and it's a surprise to those of us who study politics and didn't expect this to happen. So he managed to put together a very durable coalition that lasted him through the entire primary season, and he's got a lot to be proud of there.
So you do expect him at some point to concede the race and throw his support behind Hillary Clinton before the convention?
I think historically what Bernie Sanders has done is he's pushed as much as he can and as far as he can and no farther. I think we've seen that as mayor of Burlington in the House and in the Senate. He tries to get as much as he possibly can but will eventually back off. And I think we're seeing some signals that he may be coming around to that position.
What happens if he doesn't? I mean, technically speaking, what would happen at the convention? Because so I printed out the Real Clear Politics delegate tracker before I came into the studio. And, you know, as of right now, according to them, the delegates won in terms of pledged delegates for Hillary Clinton is 2184. For Bernie Sanders, it's 1804. But the threshold is, of course, 2382. So Hillary Clinton is about 200 delegates short on that. And we have D.C. left to go. but that's not going to get her there. So it doesn't look like, in terms of pledged delegates, she has the numbers. You know, is there any reason for Bernie Sanders to push through and hope for something to happen at the convention?
Well, what he's been saying so far is he's going to make an argument to superdelegates. And his argument doesn't seem as convincing now, especially after losing California, than it might have even a couple of weeks ago. So he would have to pull some extraordinary persuasive task off and be able to persuade several hundreds of those superdelegates. And right now in the superdelegate count, those pledged to Clinton are 571 and for Sanders is 48. So he's got a high hill ahead of him if he wants to try to do that.
Well, speaking of superdelegates, let's actually talk with one of the ones who is supporting Bernie Sanders. Rich Cassidy is a superdelegate and a Democratic National Committee man from Vermont. He's also an attorney at the Burlington law firm of Hoff Curtis, and he's on the line with us now. Hi, Rich. Nice to talk with you.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you.
So I understand that you think you may actually have been the first superdelegate to put your support vocally in front of Bernie Sanders.
Well, I think people would sort of take it for granted that Bernie was going to vote for Bernie. But other than Senator Sanders, as far as I know, I'm the first superdelegate to come out publicly and support Bernie.
So you did that when?
Right around the time of the Democratic National Committee meeting last summer.
And you're still with him now?
Oh, absolutely.
So what do you think he is likely to do, or what do you hope he does do right now as we near the very bitter end of all of the voting in this primary season?
Well, I guess the first thing that I would say is that the nomination process is not over. We might like the system to be a different system than it is, but the reality is I'm not pledged to Bernie Sanders, except in the sense that I've declared that I support him. I could change my mind. Just as I could do that, the people who have announced, the superdelegates who have announced their support for Secretary Clinton could change their minds.
So are you trying to rally other superdelegates who you know to change their minds?
And I certainly talk with a few superdelegates that I know.
And have you had any success?
I haven't specifically, but, you know, people are saying we have a nomination process for a reason. You know, we'll cast our votes at the convention. Yeah, sure. I've said I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton. That's my plan.
For Hillary Clinton?
That's what these other superdelegates
said
to me. It's their plan. It's not, you know, they haven't, there's no way in which superdelegates make a binding advance commitment. And that's, I think, one of Senator Sanders' complaint about the way the press has handled the present situation. They're treating people who have announced their support as though somehow that's the end of the game. And in fact, the game doesn't end until the nominating convention in Philadelphia. That's why we have a nominating convention.
So what if Bernie Sanders does concede and suspends his campaign, or it doesn't go the way you'd like it to go? Would you support Hillary Clinton?
Well, from my perspective, Hillary Clinton is an infinitely better choice for president than Donald Trump. Trump is a misogynist. He's a racist. He's a blowhard. He's a cruel bully. He's a lying demagogue. He's not somebody who can be trusted with the power of the presidency. So it's an easy choice for me if that's what it comes down to.
Rich Cassidy is a Democratic National Committee man from Vermont. He's also a superdelegate who showed his support for Bernie Sanders early on. Rich, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
We are talking about the results of yesterday's contests in six states and what comes next for Bernie Sanders. What do you want to hear from the Sanders campaign? He's vowing to carry on through Washington, D.C.'s primary. He said he thinks every voter should get the chance to vote for the candidate he or she supports. So he's staying in for now, at least. But should he wind up suspending his campaign, what do you hope he extracts in exchange from the Democratic establishment? A prominent speaking role at the convention? A vice presidential nod, maybe, from the Clinton campaign? Something else? Call 1-800-639-2211 with your thoughts, or you can post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Let's go to Susan, who's calling in from Moortown. Hi, Susan. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Jane. Thanks. I'm looking at Real Clear Politics as well at the popular vote. And I guess I want to preface this statement, too, with I'm a totally dedicated Sanders supporter. I've been donating monthly to his campaign. And when I look at the popular vote, Hillary Clinton has 15,571,643 votes, and Bernie has 11,888,779 votes. So she is ahead by over 3,600,000 votes, and I think it's time for Bernie to gracefully step aside and encourage all of his supporters to vote for Hillary. It's time, and I think I would love it if she asked him to be her vice presidential running mate. I think that would be fantastic. But I hope Bernie doesn't just drag it out and create problems for Clinton.
Susan, do you think you could see a team, a Clinton-Sanders team and ticket working with their personalities?
Well, I don't know about their personalities. I mean, they're both seasoned politicians, so I think that they'd be able to work together. Sanders, I thought from the beginning that people were going to be really surprised that there's this swath of America that was left behind after the 2008 recession and have been suffering. And Bernie speaks to those people in a way that Clinton can't for some reason. And so I think if they joined forces and became a political duo that had a coalition of the Clinton supporters and Sanders supporters, it would be incredibly powerful. And I hope that Secretary Clinton considers that, and I hope that Sanders considers it too.
Susan, thanks for your thoughts. I appreciate your time today. Bert Johnson, do you think there's any possibility of that happening?
I think there's always a possibility, but I think it's unlikely. And I think it's one of those things that seldom happens is that the nominee will select a running mate that has a substantial independent political base. And from Sanders' point of view, I'm not sure that it would be the most optimal thing for him to do either. I think he might want to create his own independent organization and recruit candidates for lower offices and things like that.
So recruit candidates for lower office, but not create an own independent organization and run as a third party candidate. We got a note from Kristen who says, run as an independent, time for a third party win.
I think that would make it much more likely that Trump would win the presidency. And I don't think that's what Sanders wants.
Dylan posts on our Facebook page, take it all the way to the convention and march in the streets. If that still doesn't work, vote Hillary for the greater good and focus locally to bring the movement to our own places. I voted with my conscience locally and someone new nearly made the select board here. So, you know, there are if Bernie Sanders does decide to pack it in, at least for now, suspend his campaign, decide not to run anymore for president, there are two people who would like to take his voters, of course, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And last night, both of them spoke to Bernie Sanders supporters saying, you know, come to my side, come to my side. So let's hear a little bit of what they said. Here's Hillary Clinton first.
Let there be no mistake. Senator Sanders, his campaign, and the vigorous debate that we've had about how to raise incomes, reduce inequality, increase upward mobility have been very good for the Democratic Party and for America.
So there's Hillary Clinton's take. What about Donald Trump?
To all of those Bernie Sanders voters who have been left out in the cold by a rigged system of superdelegates, we welcome you with open arms.
All right. So Bernie Sanders supporters, do either of those entreaties get you to come to one side or another? What are you thinking now after last night's voting, after the announcements that have been made, the speeches? Our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or post your reaction on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Today we're talking with Middlebury College political science professor Bert Johnson, and we're getting your reactions to yesterday's voting in New Jersey, California, and other states. We are talking about what Democrats hope Bernie Sanders does next, and we'd love to hear from Trump supporters who see a path for Bernie supporters to head in their direction. Call 1-800-639-2211 with your thoughts. Again, that number is 1-800-639-2211, or you can post a thought on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. Let's go to Nichol, calling in from Guilford. Hi, Nichol. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask your guest, to what extent does he see Bernie staying in the race this long as simply a way of trying to guarantee that his agenda and his programs actually get a voice at the convention? I mean, political memories are short. I mean, as a practical matter, people keep saying how bad this is for the Democrats that he's still in the race, but as a practical matter, a month after the convention, nobody's going to remember any of this. On the other hand, any promises made to Bernie now, if he's not there as a presence at the convention, are simply going to have been forgotten. And I like to think that what he's not a stupid person. He must know that Hillary's going to win, and but he still wants his voice to be heard.
Nichol,
hang up and listen.
Thanks for your comments. Appreciate that. What do you think, Professor Johnson?
I think that's absolutely right. I think the people who were calling for him to drop out a few weeks ago, it makes no sense for him to drop out until everything is over, because he's continuing to accumulate delegates, and those delegates can vote at the convention on various rules changes, speaker slots, whatever he wants. And so I think that's exactly what he's doing. And just a few weeks ago, the DNC made a significant concession that went somewhat unnoticed, I think, to him. And that was on the platform drafting committee, which is starting its meetings today. And usually the drafting committee is fully made up of people who are loyal to the nominee or to the DNC chair, and they granted him 5 seats on that 15-member committee, including people like Cornel West, James Sogby, and Vermont's own Bill McKibben. And so it's quite possible that what they're doing is they're setting the stage to grant him significant platform concessions. So staying in the race may have already won him some significant dividends.
We got a note from Laura on Facebook who says, so many people just don't get that this is much bigger than just Bernie becoming POTUS. It's a revolution to take back our country from the corporations. So, you know, in that vein, is getting some concessions from the DNC, moving forward with things at the convention like the party platform, or, you know, then setting up an independent organization to really push hard for candidates in some of the House and Senate races who think along similar lines to Senator Sanders, really the way to do what Laura is thinking here?
Yes, I think that's the long game. And I think it's very easy, especially given the press reports, to get caught up in battles of personality, Debbie Wasserman Schultz versus Bernie Sanders or something like that. But those battles are less worth fighting, I think, for Sanders especially, than these battles over the content of the platform and perhaps even the Democratic Party rules.
We got a note from Thomas who says, I am a 53-year-old black woman born and raised in Los Angeles, California. I now live in Denver, Colorado, and not only want but expect Bernie to take it all the way to the convention. I caucused for Bernie, but I would have supported Hillary had she made her progress without the excessive help, like Bernie did so meritoriously. I think Bernie should do just what he promises he would. He's not crazy, and neither am I. And I think by that she means with superdelegate help. Susan in Rutland says, I've been supporting Bernie Sanders from the very beginning of his campaign. It was very disappointing a year ago when so many Vermont superdelegates pledged to back Hillary Clinton, knowing that Bernie was just about to announce his candidacy. And currently, even before the polls had closed on the West Coast, the AP declared Hillary the winning Democratic candidate. This was not fair to the voters who had not yet cast their ballots. I've admired Bernie for his determination to stay in the race until all American voters have had the chance to express their preference. And I'm hoping he will not drop out now so that his delegates at the convention will have considerable influence in writing the Democratic platform to include issues most important to him and his millions of supporters. Let's hear from Bob, who's calling in from Plattsburgh, New York. Hi, Bob. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to voice sort of a concern that I had with regards to Bernie and his continuing his campaign at this stage of the game. my concern is that he's, up until now, he's had a great force, and everybody has been, you know, very supportive of with regards to all the issues that he's brought up and courageously stood for a lot of unpopular things, or people are politically unpopular anyway. But now that the writing is on the wall, and Hillary seems to have gained her footing and her strength, and Trump has become sort of this evil force, the longer he stays in, my concern is the more he's going to be perceived as sort of a stubborn old man. And the less the aura surrounding him will, I think, will evaporate quickly. And the less effective he'll be in trying to get some of his ideas on the platform with Hillary and the rest of the Democrats.
Bob, thanks for your thoughts there. I appreciate that. You know, and if you look on social media today, you are starting to see at least some Hillary Clinton supporters working that angle, that, you know, saying, I've seen some people saying, I don't think Bernie Sanders would still be in if the candidate he was opposing was not a woman, you know, sort of moving towards that area of this is somebody who's becoming a sore loser, or that there may be some sexism in here. Does he risk anything by staying in?
Well, perhaps eventually. I don't think right now he's risking that. Perhaps in a few weeks it'll be different. But I think I think it makes sense to stay in until at least the last contest, which has not yet happened. It's next week, and then see what happens. I think one other question that people tend to ask is he hurting the Democrats generally by staying in? And the evidence on that is that it's probably not. The best example of somebody staying in until the end, of course, is 2008 that we have in the past. And in that race, of people who were Clinton primary voters, the vast majority of them wound up voting for Barack Obama in the general. So I think it's unlikely that even given an acrimonious contest, we would see a lot of defections from the Democratic Party.
Mark posts, if Bernie persists in his fight and is not willing to insist that his supporters get behind the party nominee, what are the chances he could serve as a de facto spoiler? What impact to his future in the U.S. Senate would a Sanders refusal to concede have? And will he always be voted in by Vermonters? Some sort of unanswerable questions there at this point. Susan in Burlington says, I love Bernie and I'm grateful for his campaign for real issues and the needs of all people. It must be hard to give up the fight at this point after all the hard work and success. He does have a lot to be proud of, and he has involved people and moved the conversation forward in so many ways. However, it's time to convert that energy into uniting the party and supporting Hillary Clinton for president for many, many reasons. And Alex says, Bernie as vice president? Nah, Secretary of State, baby. By the way, for everyone saying it's time to step aside, just relax. He'll get around to it. If someone behind me in traffic is honking at me to go faster, I put on my brakes just to spite them. Not sure if that's what Bernie's doing, but I like your perspective, Alex. Let's talk with another Vermont delegate. Brian Pine is a pledged delegate. He's pledged to Bernie, and he's also personally supportive of the candidate, and he's on the line with us now. Brian, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thanks a lot.
Why do you support Bernie Sanders?
Wow, the number of reasons that I support Bernie, probably too numerous. We do go back 35 years as the mayor of Burlington when I was a student at the University of Vermont. And as he did then, he continues to inspire me to work toward a more just world. And it really comes down to that for my commitment to Bernie. I feel like Bernie represents the type of political change that this country badly needs, and I think the results have shown that Americans are ready for this.
So what do you think Senator Sanders should do next at this point?
Well, I don't really think I'm the person to be giving Senator Sanders advice. Bernie has a long career of really proving that he is in these campaigns. He's focused on the issues. He's focused on real change. And, as long as Bernie remains in the race, I'm a pledged delegate who's pledged my support to him. And I'll continue to support him. And I think he'll continue to focus on the issues. He will, continue to mobilize thousands and literally millions of Americans who otherwise are not part of the political process And as someone said earlier, Bernie is in this for the nomination, for sure. However, there's more to it than that. You know, politics as usual is something that Bernie has been railing against for more than 40 years, and he has succeeded in many of his efforts. So this is, I think, part of that legacy that he will continue to represent the people and the issues that that he cares about.
A couple weeks ago, when we spoke with a couple of candidates to be delegates to the Republican National Convention, they told us that they were getting themselves, you know, on this ballot and hoping to be elected to try to work towards change at the convention, regardless of who they had to be a pledged delegate for. So what do you hope to do at the convention?
Well, I think it is clear that the process needs reform. As somebody put it in the state convention, the Democratic state convention, we need to purify this process because you know, both superdelegates and closed primaries are just two really obvious examples of how the Democratic Party needs to basically reform its process to be small d democratic. It needs to be a truly democratic process, and so I'll be supporting all efforts to make it a more democratic, more open, inclusive process, because I think Americans have shown that they will participate.
And in the end, Brian, if Hillary Clinton is the nominee, will you get behind her?
I will definitely support the nominee if it's Secretary Clinton. I will be supporting her over Donald Trump. This country is much greater than what Donald Trump offers it. So we are great without Donald Trump. He doesn't need to make it great.
In his normal life, Brian Pine is a financing consultant for the Vermont Energy Investment Corporation, but he's also a pledged delegate to the Democratic National Convention. Thanks for sharing your thoughts with us, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
And we're on a roll with Vermont delegates. Let's hear now from Claudia Pringles, a pledged delegate to the convention as well. She's a Bernie delegate and a Bernie Sanders supporter. Hello, Claudia. Nice to have you on.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I understand you used to be a Clinton supporter, but not this year. Why not?
Well, I was actually a staunch Clinton supporter from the time she was First Lady, and once Bernie decided to run, I started checking into things a little bit more and came across some issues in her history that I really wasn't comfortable with, and just made my support for Bernie that much stronger.
So if Bernie Sanders concedes, would you shift your allegiances?
Well, I'm hoping he does not concede and we take this all the way to the convention, because there's a lot for us to do at the convention. As Brian and others have mentioned, we need to talk about rules. We need to talk about platform items. We need to do more to get people to trust the Democratic Party again, because I think we've lost a lot of that from this race.
And though, if he winds up even at the convention not being the delegate or not being the nominee, what would you do in terms of your personal support?
Well, as a national delegate, I don't know if that would actually really be relevant to this, because my role is really there to go and support Bernie. But my hope is that Hillary not become the nominee, because if she does become the nominee, we're going to lose against Trump. There's so much opposition towards her nationally, and she's not a very strong candidate. So my hope is at the convention we can come together and, with the help of the superdelegates, come up with a nominee who can go to November and beat Trump.
We got a note from Pete who says, I think Bernie needs to join up with the Green Party's Jill Stein and run as a Green or an Independent. The only way to get the attention of the Democratic establishment is to dismantle it, tear it down, and start over, even if that means Trump gets elected for what Pete says will be a non-productive four-year term. If we rally behind Hillary, nothing will change and we'll get four more years of drones, Guantanamo, growing inequality, wars, etc. So, Claudia, would you support a Sanders run as a third-party candidate?
Again, as a national delegate, I want to be loyal to people that had voted for me to go and represent Bernie. So I don't think that, you know, my views outside of that are really fair to anybody else. But, you know, I'm here to help Bernie. I'm dedicated to him. I believe in him. And I think he's the only one who can keep the Koch brothers at bay, because they're going to be putting a lot of money into Republican candidates. And if we don't have a strong top ticket candidate on the ballots, we're going to lose to the Republicans, and that's my huge concern.
Claudia Pringles works as a lawyer in Montpelier advocating for those with disabilities and for their families, and she was elected to be a pledged delegate from Vermont at the Democratic National Convention in July. Claudia, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
And listeners, you can continue to share your thoughts with us, your reactions. Do you see a third party run for Bernie Sanders? Would that basically put him in the role of a spoiler and elect Donald Trump? Are you okay with that? Maybe you're going to Donald Trump from Bernie Sanders, or maybe you're a Hillary Clinton supporter and you'd like to weigh in here on what you think should happen next and why Bernie Sanders supporters should come to your side. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211, or you can post your thoughts on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Daniel says, why would Bernie supporters vote for Hillary? Many of us view her as an establishment right-wing hawk. The Bern movement is not just about electing Bernie POTUS, it's about the down ballot, pulling the Dems to the left, or creating a viable third party. It is about we the people. And let's hear from Tim calling in from Warren. Hi, Tim. Go ahead.
Yes, I believe that Bernie Sanders should run as an independent because there's really no difference between Hillary or Trump. One's a seasoned politician who can tell you what you want to hear and change with the wind. The other one isn't. And basically, I supported Bernie, and he's the first Democrat I ever voted for, but basically we need choices because the system is broken and there is no change.
So we're hearing from...
basically, I think Bernie should run. He won't be a spoiler. I mean, you can call him a spoiler, but that's the whole problem. We're a two-party system, which is one, and we never get a choice. And our leaders are choosing for us like the drug commercials that tell us what to take. And we get our two choices, and we're supposed to be satisfied. And that needs to stop.
All right, so Tim's in favor of a third-party run. Listeners, what about you? We're talking today as well with Bert Johnson, chair of the Political Science Department at Middlebury College. More to come as we continue this conversation. You're listening to Vermont Edition. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm in the studio today with Bert Johnson, chair of the Political Science Department at Middlebury College. He's helping guide us through some of the questions about what happened in yesterday's political contests around the country. And as we hear from so many of you about what you'd like to see unfold in the campaign between now and the conventions at the end of July. You can share your thoughts on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net or on our Facebook page, or call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. And let's go to Sarah in Salem, New York. Hi, Sarah. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say I'm a big Bernie supporter. I was very disheartened yesterday when the AP, I think, tried to, made the announcement at a very absurd time. However, I have to say at this point, I am desperate to make sure Donald Trump does not become president. I think it would be disastrous for us all. I think it's time that Bernie, I believe it's right for Bernie to continue on to the convention. However, what I'm waiting to hear is Hillary make some overtures that would entice or induce some of us Bernie strong holdouts to want to go over to her. I really will vote for Hillary. However, I feel like there's a lot of almost arrogance on her part or with her campaign saying, oh, you guys are all traitors if you refuse to just come lock, stock, and barrel over with me. And I'd like to hear her give us some reasons to back her.
Sarah, thanks for your thoughts. Appreciate your time and your perspective. Let's hear from Abdi in Colchester. Hi, Abdi. Go ahead.
I thank you for having me on.
Sure. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are I'm suggesting Senator Sanders to stay on until the convention floor.
Because why? What do you think he could get?
Well, the reason is I call the Clintons the corporate Clintons. There's not much difference between Donald Trump and the Clintons. The Clintons who left the White House, they decided to have their home in New York. Senator Clinton came in as a senator in New York. There's a reason why they did this. In the corporate world, that's who they work for, and that's who Donald Trump is. He also lives in New York. So these people do not have the interest of the common citizen of this country. So they have their own interest. And I would like Bernie Sanders to stay in and make sure this crooked system of the superdelegates is wiped off from the Democratic rules.
Abdi, thanks for your thoughts on that. And Bert Johnson, I'd love for you to weigh in on if that's a possibility. You know, we have heard, and actually we've heard in both parties, candidates crying out for change to the system and change in the way these primaries are run, the way the whole system is run. So Bernie Sanders obviously calling for that the loudest at this point. Donald Trump seems to have quieted down since he got the presumptive nomination. But what's the possibility? How would that work to actually get some rule changes in?
Well, it's an interesting issue because there are short-term and long-term things that Sanders can get. The short-term things he can get are issues having to do with the platform, which is being written over the next month and a half. The long-term things are going to have to be the rules. And that's a difference between the Democratic Party way of doing things and the Republican Party way of doing things. In the Republican Party, they can rewrite the rules on the convention floor fairly easily. The tradition has been in the Democratic Party, they appoint a commission to deal with this. And that takes place over the course of a number of years. So that's a long game. You're not going to see rules changes at the convention this summer. But you might see an attempt to get a committee appointed, and you might see an attempt to get Sanders supporters on that committee. But that'll happen over the long term. What's interesting about the proposed rules changes that Sanders is talking about is that none of them are necessarily affecting him detrimentally right now. The superdelegates, well, Hillary Clinton's got a lead in the pledged delegates. It's not just the superdelegates. The closed versus open primary, there are a few states where that might have harmed Sanders. But statistically, if you run the data on this, the closed delegate versus open delegate system doesn't explain a whole lot of Sanders' support. And then the other perhaps non-democratic element of the nomination process is caucuses, which are disenfranchising in that they only take place at a certain time and they have much lower turnout. But Sanders did much better in caucuses than Hillary Clinton did. So there are a lot of these rules changes that are being proposed that actually would not have helped Sanders and, in fact, might have hurt him. And I think the one that is the exception to that might be this proposal about limiting the number of primaries that can occur on a single day to make it easier for a non-establishment candidate to campaign in those states. So that might be the one that has the most promise in allowing a Sanders-like candidate to succeed in the future.
What would the media do if they couldn't call every Tuesday a Super Tuesday, though? Then that would be a huge
issue.
Well,
if you limit the number of primaries on a certain day, then every Tuesday has three or four primaries.
Or every day is super.
Fantastic.
Let's hear from Ed calling in from Williston. Hi, Ed. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. So I'm one of the weird ones. I'm a Vermont conservative. Always have been, always will be. Lived here all my life, third generation. Trump is not my number one choice. I was a Jindal fan way back, and then I went to a Cruz fan, and now I'm jumping on the lifeboat called Trump. There's no way that I want Hillary. I mean, case in point, when Benghazi happened, she didn't send any help. When Kuwait happened, and at the end of Kuwait, Trump sent over planes to bring back some of our troops.
Ed, I appreciate your perspective. I think, you know, we're going to hear some pushback from Hillary Clinton supporters on issues like Benghazi, but you're certainly highlighting some of the weaknesses, some of the areas where we're going to see in this general election, should it be Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, what people are going after for Hillary Clinton. And there is some significant weakness there, and a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters still saying Hillary Clinton is not the right person to try to beat Donald Trump. I appreciate hearing your perspective. A couple more here. Betty says, I canvassed for Bernie in New Hampshire, Brooklyn, and outside Tampa, as well as making many calls for him and donating to his campaign. I support his strategy, whatever he chooses. Linda says, use the tremendous momentum and support to build an organization that continues and pursues the reforms needed. Bow out gracefully now. Trump is a huge threat to our stability. Put your strengths to the helm to defeat him in November. Just in the last couple seconds we have, Professor Johnson, you think there's any chance that Bernie supporters are going to move over to Trump?
Not much. I think the Trump supporter we just heard from is more typical of a Trump supporter, which is that he was supporting other Republicans and then moved over to Trump. For Bernie supporters, I conducted a survey with a bunch of students in New Hampshire during that process, and we found about 4 or 5% of people were considering both Sanders and Trump. It's not very many. And that's comparable to what other national surveys are showing. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of crossover, despite Trump's best efforts to try to get Bernie supporters over to his side. Nice try, Donald, but maybe not.
You know, it was interesting in that clip we played earlier of Donald Trump saying, there's a place for you here if you've been supporting Bernie Sanders, as you can hear in the background what sounds to me like Trump supporters sort of sniggering at the very mention of Bernie Sanders before they realize that Trump is trying to be conciliatory.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And I think what he's doing is he's relying on process considerations. He's talking about the system as being rigged rather than addressing some of what Bernie Sanders' supporters' core concerns are, and we've heard some of them this hour, economic, racial justice, things like that.
Well, we're going to have to see how it all unfolds. It's certainly interesting to watch and perhaps agonizing for people who are really pushing hard in one direction or another. Bert Johnson is Associate Professor of Political Science at Middlebury College. He chairs the department. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
You're very welcome.
And that wraps up the show. Tomorrow, starting next month, the state officially bans disposal of leaves and yard debris. Tomorrow, we'll dig into this next phase of the rollout of the universal recycling law and what impact the legislation has had so far. Plus, Jazz Fest is underway in Burlington. Our own Reuben Jackson shares some of the highlights you won't want to miss. You can send your thoughts on today's show, as always, to vermontedition@vpr.net. And be sure to tune in and listen live tomorrow at noon. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.